nutshell of what we've been saying, we're grappling with sugar, and you give me biscuits. Biscuits, you feel what you want. Help yourself. So now come closer, Mr. Chesnum.
It's good, it's good. It's
okay. כך שינו חכם מסכת שבת. אמר רבי מנונה, כל עם ישראל בערב שבת, רואים ויחולו. Very simple, you don't have to do that much. You just go to shul on Friday night, you say ויחולו. מעלה וכוסף כאילו נעשה שותף לקודש ברוך הוא במעשה בראשית. Simple. You want to become partners with Warren Buffett. You go, whatever, somewhere and you say a few words and that's it. Shutif b'maisa b'reishis. B'chal b'chazal, kol adon dim emes la'amitah na'asa shutif l'kosh b'och b'maisa b'reishis. You're dying on the base din and you don din emes, na'asa shutif l'kosh. Ma'adem sh'chazal eskira es ha'shutif v'zdafke b'nyonim eilu, mashmoysam hi sh'yishne yichudiyot b'tvorim anah. Obviously, this is where Chazal mentioned Shutvus with Maisa Breishis with a Kosh Boch. It must be these two things have something unique about them, that if you do them, you become a Shutvus, Maisa Breishis. Shevim is Bati Yosef Chelekelem, Shutvus, Maisa Breishis. Ulam. And Nibet Emes Alidei Kol Asiel Shal Rotzen Hashem Adam Nasa Shutvus, Maisa Breishis. The truth of the matter is that everything a person does, he becomes a Shutvus, Maisa Breishis in a Kosh Boch. The Kachman and Daniel Rav Yonis and Avishat, the Sifra Yoros Dvash Chedek Rishon Drush Aleph, the Zeh Lashoyne, the Kama Malos Toives Loisa Rotzen Aboire. How many wonderful milos, qualities, they are for those that do the Rotzen of the Boire. The Mamash B'may Seu Nasa Shutav Lakosh Bochu Ba'asad Reishis. With any deed he does that's the Rotzen of the Boire, he becomes a Shutav B'may Seu Reishis, with Hashem. He builds worlds with his good and he destroys them with his bad. Because that's how Kosh Baruch set up the world. And everything is judged according to Maisa Odom. It's all, that's it. It's all Talubas. Mashmoy Saposuk ki. Sha'olam kudu mushpa l'toiva, maisis maisa toiv, kol maisa toiv, mashpir l'toiva. Every good a person does creates positive influences in the world. So, you have to understand here, what's this shutfus b'maisa b'reishis? And as we know, b'divra chazal ein klal militz, it's no exaggerations or hype up of it. Shutav can avoid a shutav mamash. When Chazal use a word, they use it in its halachic terminology. The shutav means a shutav, what it means in Shulchan Aruch. Kloima, shutav sheyesh lo chelek shavu b'mifal, or b'ruchus ha-mashutav. If you're a partner in a factory with somebody, in a certain business, in a certain property, we're learning a shutfim now, yeah? So somebody should have some sense of what we're talking about. If you're shutfim in a chotzer, you have equal ownership of that chotzer. Mamash. Everything I do in the shutfas has significant. Shutef masha also esu. What I do is the whole shutef did it. If I'm a shutfas in a factory with you and I do something, then it's as if the whole shutfas did that thing. Adam lokeach shutav l'tzorech ha-shlomas matarose l'tzorech ha-siyas poilesh hu eni yoichel lo'is en levadre. Why do you take in a partner? Because there's something you need to do that you can't do on your own. Either he has the financing, he has the knowledge, he has the wherewithal, whatever. You don't do, you have something that he needs. So get into a shutfas. Kach lav del boro kosh boch is a lomah. That's how kosh boch created his world. V'nivra bo avodim. Shem b'nei en noishis ha-klalis. He created avodim, which is the human race in general. They're the workers in the mifal. They get paid a salary, they do what they have to do. הם עושים זו יש על ידי קיום שבע מצוות בני נויח, they keep the seven mitzvahs in the noyach. Rav Wasserman Zatzal once said, they're the passengers on the aeroplane. Pleasant aeroplane, you give very simple instructions. Don't burn the aeroplane. You know, don't destroy the plane. We're flying it, we know what we're doing. You just put on your seatbelts and behave. That's seven mitzvahs b'nai noyach. Ulam adayin ein mamonim k'shutfim. They're not shutfim. Shutfim in my sabreishis. You bought a ticket, you get on the plane, you sit on the plane, you don't destroy the plane, you get off, you want shares? You know, shares, you work here, you're in Eved. As a shutfim em am Yisrael, ha-mashlimim esabriya lidekiyum ha-toyr v'mitzvahs. We mashlim the bria, whatever that means, via our Torah mitzvahs. Rab b'schus ha-moylam kaim. And only in the schus of Klal Yisrael does the world continue to exist. We know that the bria was all tonight that Klal Yisrael would accept the Torah. If Klal Yisrael wouldn't have accepted the Torah, the world would have gone back to Tov v'Bol. As a kosh boch hu boros ha'olam bo'efer, k'shekevi yochul, yesh dvarim shebo'erim, eini yoichel ha'soysam, b'ladeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a world. Be careful with these words. We have to hold on to them for a while until we get clarity here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a world. There are things in the world that he can't do on his own. But dvarim kashim keitzad. Nita in loymash HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoichel ha'vareil yochol yochol. How can you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't when he's called yoichel? Hashem created a world in which without my help, without my shutfus, because that's Pratim Shutfus. When I say Vayichul and I'm Don Din Emes and I keep any mitzvah lamais, I become a Shutfus for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why did he take Shutfus? It means there must be something that he can't do without me. What does that mean? Hashem can do whatever he wants. Lo lo chase klum. And that's what we're going to be spending some time trying to clarify. What is this Shutfus? How do we understand this fact that Hashem somehow needs us? Kaitzad poele shutvezu. Kamu tachlis abreine haitiv. We mentioned above, and we're mentioned a lot. If to get this into your, if I wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and ask you what was the world created for, you have to be able to spit this out like this. It's become part of your default position. This. The world is created laitiv. The kosh bochu boros aloyim. The oifin shiibon nivra shetchosa lo hatova. The kosh bochu yaitiv imoy. Hashem creates a world with creatures that are lacking, so that he can give them. Hatovim mitis hi advekas boyis barach. For those that were late, mentioned this earlier. The greatest good you can give Hashem, that Hashem can give us, is Himself. To have a relationship with Him. But it's not the ultimate good if you get it for nothing. Therefore you have to get it as a reward for the effort that you made. It's going to be a kinyan that you personally can make. You've got 613 mitzvahs, positive and negative. If we'll withstand the nisoyin, whatever that means, and we will achieve shleimus and do what is incumbent upon us, then you'll get what's magia lecha. The next world you'll get paid for what you earned. Then Hashem can give us all the good that He wants to give us, which is what was His original desire when He created the world. Every thought, word, and deed that a Jew does, whether he's saying no or whether he's doing what he's supposed to be doing or not doing what he's not supposed to be doing, because without him you can't close the circle. Hashem wants to give, but he's only going to give it to you if you earn it. No, what happens if you don't earn it? He can't give it to you. Azil. The purpose of the brachos can be fulfilled. Lula had you not done what you were supposed to do, Hashem can't give you the reward for that. Now, why did He create the world? For only one reason, to give you the reward for that mitzvah. No, you didn't do it, He can't give it to you. So you stopped Hashem doing why He created the world. But
And therefore, without us, Hashem can't bring about the purpose of the creation. What did he create it for? Is to close the circle. But we can keep the circle open. This is the awesome gift. No words to describe the awesomeness of the gift that Hashem gave us. He gave us the entire tachlis of the bria. And all he gave us was one warning. Pay attention, tendaitche. We'll explain what that means soon. Don't destroy my world. That's all. But not destroying the world, but doing what you're supposed to do. Why? Because if you don't do what you were supposed to do, have you destroyed the world? Will you stop the Shem from claiming the purpose of the world? So there's no purpose in starting the world. That's how we are shutfim b'may sabreishis.
We have also a limit. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu ten us sometimes to make the work, but at the end he won't. We say we have 6,000 years, and at the end that should be finished. What can happen?
Many kashas on this. Many kashas on this. Okay. Looks like some kind of a joke. I've been in many places. Chavos HaLevavos says that when you're going to get the schar that you earn, then Hashem's going to give you much, much more schar than that. Well, how do we understand that? What happened to Naam de Suma? What happened to the bread of shame? Many, many kashas. Okay. Yeah. Rambam says the world's going where it's got to go. The only question is, are you going to be there or not? That's the question. The world's going to go where the world's going to go. Doesn't mean every individual's going to get there. They're not so posh that everyone's going to make it. If everyone's going to make it, so what's the chup? You're going to get there anyway. So chill out, and eventually you'll get there. No, there's a thing called bechira, a thing called schava oinesh, and lolo kol kach pashut. That's what Gehenna is. Gehenna makes sure that everybody gets there ultimately. Well, that's not the way Hashem wants us to go. Hashem says in this week's Pashu, Bechate Bechayim, I'm putting in front of you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Why do you have to tell us to choose life? Shouldn't it be obvious? Shouldn't it be obvious? I'm giving you life and death. Choose life. Are you talking to a bunch of idiots? Of course choose life. What kind of choice is death? Bale Musa say there are two equal poles here. If Hashem's putting in front of you life and death, blessing and curse, and that's where we learn our Bechira from, means you have a choice. Well, what kind of a choice is death? It'll also get you there. There's two paths. You can go the life way and you can go the death way. Hashem says, please do me a favor, go the nice way. I don't want to have to drag you through the other way. But you can go the other way as well if you want. And Klal Yisrael has many times chosen that path. Klal Yisrael's choosing that path right now. Look at us. Hurtling into an abyss.
I saw Pshat this way. Life and death. Life is translated as existing, not really living. Existing. And that is ultimately death itself.
Yeah.
Sometimes the right choice is death.
Correct. Yeah. That's Bechata Bechaim. It says tzaddikim b'misosam nikra chay. Tzaddikim when they're dead are called alive. Rishayim b'chayim nikra meis. They're called dead. That's what we're davening for Rosh Hashanah. We're not davening to stay alive and breathing and kicking. We're asking for proper life. Mi yichye v'yimamus. Why are there two books open on Rosh Hashanah? Sifrei chayim and sifrei mavus. Why do you need two books? Write all the dead guys in the dead book and everything. Make it into the dead book. We'll live. Why do you need a book for sifrei chayim? Sifrei Chaim Amar is Pasach Lefanai. What do you need Sifrei Chaim for? Everyone that's going to die right into Sifrei Mavis and everything, get into there, lives. That's the vote. Chaim doesn't mean you're going to live or die. It means you're going to have the opportunity to earn life in Olam Haba. Everyone's going to live. The Sefer Meis and the Chaim and the Sefer Chaim, everyone's going to live. But are you going to have a live that leads to life, or are you going to have a life that leads to death? What kind of life are you going to have? You're going to have the opportunity to do what you're supposed to do in this world. God forbid a person's sick, a person doesn't have panasa, he can't do what he's supposed to do in this world. Well, Give me laugh. That means give me a laugh that I can earn laugh, as opposed to give me a laugh where I can't earn laugh. There's a lot going on Rosh Hashanah.
The same question, the ceasefire.
What?
The ceasefire. Sure,
no, he's writing down exactly what's going to be, what this life's going to look like, and what this death's going to look like. Not just if you don't die, you're alive. You cannot die and also not be alive.
You know what this is, like bringing you back 2 years ago, I was able to move for 12 or 13 months. But I knew what was going on. And everybody was doing everything for me. And I hated it because I didn't want to do it now. Why are you doing this?
So you've had your Gehenim already?
No.
So you're a Ben Olam Haba? Oi! For sharing that. I heard a minor from a Volby, which I feel obligated to share. We all know that the din of Rosh Hashanah is Ba'ashehu Sham. Hashem judges us as we are on Rosh Hashanah. We know that from Yishmael. The Malachim want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to kill Yishmael because he knows what's going to come from Yishmael. We know today what comes from Yishmael. If anybody would have asked you then, what do you do with Yishmael? I don't think anybody would have voted to keep him alive. Wipe him out and that's it. You've solved a couple thousand years of Jewish suffering. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Is he a tzaddik now? Is he a tzaddik now? I don't look at what's going to be. I judge him based on what he is now. And that's how Rosh Hashanah works. That's how Rosh Hashanah works. It then doesn't judge us on what's going to be and how we're going to be and what we're going to do. He doesn't look into the future. He looks at us how we are on Rosh Hashanah. I think everybody knows this. If you don't know it, now you know it. And therefore, a person prepares himself for Rosh Hashanah. Very careful. It's a very critical day. You're working in the genes here. Mamash. Everything you do on Rosh Hashanah is setting up your entire year based on what you do now. You get angry on Rosh Hashanah. It's if you think of the marshal of genes, if you take the genetic code, yeah, and you want the child to be born without an arm, you don't have to do too much. A little microscopic laser prick on the gene and that's it, no arm. After the child's born, you want to take out his arm. It's a whole guns operation. It's a big story. Rosh Hashanah is the gene. It's mamash the genetic code of the entire year. So you have to be very, very careful on Rosh Hashanah. You have to be very careful what he's doing on Rosh Hashanah, what he's thinking, what he's doing. People have aspirations of ruchnias and people build for themselves ma'arechet, how they want their day to look. Yeah. Everyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, people have, we have desires, you know. You have the shmuzim and you get arayas and you get excited and you're Rosh Hashanah. Malchus, you go to shul, you go daven. It's roimamus, so you come home from davening, you're on this elevated level, you're fired up. It says Revolvi the following words, Hamamash, you have to hear these words carefully. He says, this what I've just described to you now is a matkon l'chatoim. It's a recipe for sin. It's a recipe for sins. Anybody caught on to what I'm talking about yet? No, you haven't been there yet. Okay. As I heard it, it was like, shoo. Now I need to hear that. Not everything on Rosh Hashanah is going to be exactly to your liking. The guy standing next to you in davening might not nick you. He might be talking to his friend in the middle of Kaddish. And you're going to get irritated. And you go outside and a couple of Bochrim standing there schmoozing. Rosh Hashanah, guys, don't you know what? And you're going to get matzben. and you're going to come home and there's children and there's women and there's talking and it's not exactly, you know, what you want to be speaking about and what you feel Rosh Hashanah is about or whatever, and you start getting matzben and you get angry, and ze matkon lechatoyim, says Rav Volbi. Vezeh avoyda shel Rosh Hashanah, to know that not what you thought your avoyda Rosh Hashanah was is really your avoyda. Your avoyda is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants your avoyda to be. Ba'ashehu sham. When you're sitting at the Suda, you've just come back from that davening, as a mamash, a person's like a malach. He's in the seventh heaven, as they say literally. And you come home, and there's, you know, there's a diaper, and the Suda's not ready, and the kids are letzoning, and one's swinging from the chandeliers, and another one's, and the baby needs to be changed, and this one's talking nonsense, and this one's, and boom! And you get upset, and you get cross. You have to know, zeh havoidu sheli. Avoida Barush Shona Bashehu Sham is, I don't know what my avoida is. Kosh Boko just told me my avoida is. Don't get angst. You have heightened expectations, and heightened expectations, when they're not fulfilled, ask any South African, will tell you it leads to revolutions. Yeah? The Schwarzes thought when the Schwarzes took over, everyone will be rich and have lots of money, okay, and everything would be fine. They didn't realize that their leaders are going to be bigger and loving than the ones that were before, and they were going to still be poor, and because they had heightened expectations and they weren't fulfilled, so now there's a crisis. That's what happens to us on Rosh Hashanah. Not just on Rosh Hashanah, it can happen anytime. You get fired up and you get excited, and you're supposed to be. Supposed to be. That doesn't mean just say, you know what, I'm gonna cut to the lowest common denominator. You know, Yankel's five, that's what I'm going to have to deal with, five. I'm going to be Yankel the five-year-old, the whole of Rosh Hashanah. No! You have to have your aspirations, you have to have your ruchness or whatever, but you have to, there might be other avoider that Hashem has in mind for you that you never thought about. And be prepared for that. Because that's the Ikka avoider. That's the Ikka avoider. The Ikka avoider is to do what Hashem wants me to do. I've just been mamlich Hashem. And I come home, who are you mamlich, yourself or Hashem? I want to be on this level, I want to be holding, I want this, I want everything to be exactly the way I want it to be. This is Olam Haba. You know, like in America, they conned us into thinking that Olam Haba is now. You know, you leather seat, leather seats in your car. You don't have to go outside to switch on your car. You have to, you know, you switch it on before and then the car warms up, because God forbid you should be cold for 30 seconds. Perfect. We're in a perfect world. That's Rosh Hashanah. They told me I'm being judged on what's going on now. Therefore, I have to be perfect. And then you go to shul and you mamlich Hashem and you come home and you scream and shout because not everything's the way you want it. That's, if anybody's never experienced it, know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, I'm talking to myself. Nothing I've ever heard before. These mishpat of revolve, we never heard anything that resonates with me as much as this. And it's not just on Rosh Hashanah, it happens often. It can happen every Shabbos, it can happen. Whenever we have a ruchnes deke his oiris, every Shabbos, every Shabbos. You come home, you miss oiri, you had a davening, you feel heavenly. This is my inolam haba, and you come home and it's like, boing. Now starts the real avoider. Everything up to now was geshmak, it was nice, and that's also avoider, not belittling it chas v'chila one drop. But the ikka avoider is to know that Hashem has us avoider that we didn't plan and didn't expect, and you have to be prepared for that. How you deal with this, everyone's got to find his own kamon hamon chokhmah. A person has to use a lot of wisdom here to know where to your red, where not to your red, how to go. I always say slichas first night. I always say slichas. The last 20 years, I've always said slichas. The Rav davens from the Amud, and it's mamash. It's a elevated experience. I go to the yeshiva, it takes too long. So I go there, and it's beautiful. It's mamash geshmak, and it's all avreichim daven, and it's very, very geshmak. Somebody started a new yeshiva in Tifrach for kids that are kind of like half of the derech, not on the derech, whatever, small little places, like 15 bochrim in the yeshiva. So come on, last night my son says to him, somebody told me they're making slichas there. That's where he wants to go. So my first reaction was, Gesundheit, come on, go. What's it going to do with me? In other words, I'm going there. What am I going to do there? Yeah, I'm going to get irritated. I'm going to get sumished. I don't know what goes on in that place. It's a gewaldika place. We should start more places like that. And Ashrecha, the person that started that place. But he tells me that the Baal Tfilah for Shachris in the yeshiva, he's davening from the Amud. He's a moidika Baal Tfilah. So I thought, you know what? My son wants to go there. What's my job now? To have this beautiful slichas in the right place, or to go with my son to slichas. You know what? I just heard this revolving mamish about 2 hours before. So you know what? So I went. I promise you now, it wasn't what I'm used to, it wasn't what I enjoy, it wasn't what I expect or whatever.
Aval, it was very nice, you know, very nice.
Well, Tfila, everything was very nice, whatever. Aval, that was my avoider. My avoider was to go there and not get irritated and not get cross and not feel that, oh, you know, I could have been there and I could have had this wonderful slichas and whatever and whatever. And I said my slichas, whatever, and it was my slichas, it wasn't everybody else's slichas. They just right. But that's the point. I thought my job last night, I've been praying the whole week for the slichas, you know, the first slichas, blah, blah, blah. And I got, you know, Nebuch, you missed the train and you land up on the side of the road saying slichas kind of on your own. You know, it was like, yeah, but that was the avoider. That's the avoider. And that happens all the time. And if you don't mind and you know that's happening, you know that's your job, it's fine. It's when you think your job's something else and Hashem gives you something else to do, you get upset and start getting cross and irritated, whatever. I can't tell you I wasn't irritated. I can't tell you I didn't have moments where I was upset and I wasn't irritated or not. But at least I was aware that that was going on. There's a Yetzer Hara here who wants to use this opportunity to mess with you. And that's a very... So I just have to share this because I know this is something that happens to all of us. And if you know this and you're aware of it and you understand what your job is, you don't get upset. You don't get upset. You don't go, oh, I built up this idea of Rosh Hashanah or whatever, you killed us, destroyed us, and you ruined my moment. No, this was your void. It's Hashem. Hashem's judging who you are now. There's a mice I brought down. I think it's one of Reb Zilberstein's story. I don't know where I saw it. I saw it. Reb Zilberstein, doesn't matter. In one of those books there was a young Avraham and his wife who had to go to the Shvei. They had to go to the Shvei wanted them to go to them for Rosh Hashanah. He didn't actually want to go there. The shul's not exactly what he is used to, you know, he used to daven in yeshiva or whatever. But Shalom, he decided for Shalom Bais, they're going to go. So he lived in one place, they lived in the other side of town or whatever. It was a bit of a drive. They decided they're going to leave by 3 o'clock, they get there on time, you know, so he can be ready. He can go to the mikveh, have a shower, and be ready, and you know, go into shul and half an hour learn, learn some musa before Rosh, before Maariv and whatever. Anyway, to cut a very long story short, it didn't work out that way. Unfortunately, they left a little bit late as they were leaving the baby. This, his wife was running late. He saw they were going to be late. He saw they were going to be late. And he decided, this is a test. Whatever happens, my job here is not to get upset. My job is to stay calm. No matter what Hashem throws at me now, I have to stay calm. That's the biggest chiddush of the story, that he confessed that. You've got to get to like 70 years old to understand that that's what's going on. Usually kids don't understand it. That's the test. The test here is stay calm. And that's what he did. Pella, I mean, this guy, I don't believe this guy, the guy's a giant of a human being. Anyway, I don't have to spell out the story for you, whatever. They got on the bus late, as they were arriving, you know, in the neighborhood where Shvei stays, they were pushing the pram up the hill, everyone was walking down the hill to go to shul, you know, really nice and smart, you know, Maariv starting whatever, as he's walking past the shul, he has Baruch Hu. Yeah, they get there, by the time they get the baby sorted, I didn't have time for a shower, whatever, but he started staying calm. Anyway, he got to shul, like, after Kriya Shema already. You know, anybody got the picture here? And he decided to stay calm. Anyway, the whole story, these stories always have happy endings. And he had the best years he ever had in his life. And Shefa Broch and whatever, whatever, whatever. But that's the vote here. He thought his job was to get there early and to bring the control and to do all the things he wanted. Hashem said, I've got another job for you. I want to give you much more reward than that. Any idiot can do that. Any idiot with no interference can be a malach on Rosh Hashanah. But I don't want to give you the reward for that. I want to give you a much bigger reward. Yeah, I'm going to throw you some curveballs and see whether you can stay calm. Your job is stay calm. You've got to fax the night before Rosh Hashanah. Hashem says, things are going to go wild. You think your job is aleph? I'm telling you now, you have one job. Stay calm, no matter what happens. That's your job. If you know that, so then you can throw whatever you want at me. You know, why is Abba not getting upset? You're obviously not working hard enough. Let's try harder. You can't upset Abba because Abba's job is to stay calm, no matter what happens. The matkon lechatoyim. These heightened expectations, and you have to have them. It takes wisdom to know how to have those heightened expectations, and at the same time be able to deal with what they call it, puncture. The punctures. And when the punctures happen, you have to be able to know, there's an opportunity to stay calm. A good year.
Oh yeah.